Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast, and we have a spectacular guest for you this session. It is Andrew Salisbury. He is the proprietor, and we'll find out exactly what he does for that, for Purity Coffee. So he is an expert on the health benefits of coffee and how to get the best coffee for your health. Andrew, thanks very much for coming on. Now, how did you get into coffee, so to speak?
Well, it was sort of an interesting story. It started around 3 years ago. My background is actually nothing to do with coffee and health. It started in technology, but around 3 years ago, my wife was having some health issues and really just low energy. It didn't turn out to be anything serious, but she was sort of self-medicating like a lot of us do and drinking a lot of coffee. And I started looking into whether this habit was good for her or bad for her and trying to understand really whether she was doing more harm than good. And what I discovered really blew me away, which is that the health benefits of coffee that are known by science really hasn't trickled down to the general public. And I felt like there was just a huge opportunity here in terms of educating people around the health benefits of coffee. And beyond that, looking at every step of the process to see if we can improve the health benefits of coffee.
You mean my going on the Oprah show back when she was in her prime and telling her that she should have coffee didn't do it enough?
Well, that was. I'm glad you did that.
So the data on coffee and its real age effect, which is if you go to realage.com, which was the genesis of the U books and Real Age books, and even the Real Age website, was that three cups would make you about 1.1 years younger, and the more the better. From a decrease in, we published that in as long ago as 1999, but the data keeps coming out that, in fact, the benefits in decreasing Parkinson's and Alzheimer's were known then, and now the benefits for those who are fast metabolizers of caffeine in decreasing 9 cancers and type 2 diabetes has accumulated as well.
Yeah.
But you've actually concentrated now on producing, I would guess, a healthier coffee. Tell us what you mean by that and how you got into the actual business of finding organic coffee beans and learning how to roast it without producing acrylamides and PAH, et cetera.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. So we started working with some of the best coffee scientists in the world, and one of the people on our advisory board who helped us through this process was Dr. Adriana Farrar, and she's from the University, a professor from the University of Brazil. And basically, we looked at every step of the process to see what are the negative compounds that are often created in the production of coffee, and how do we avoid those, and what are the positive compounds, and if we could dial them up and increase those compounds. So, you know, as you probably recognize, the most positive compound that comes from coffee is the antioxidants or chlorogenic acids in the coffee. And those vary wildly between different sorts of coffee, different regions, different harvests, and also the way that the coffee is stored, the way the coffee is roasted. And so we created a process to maximize the antioxidants in those coffees.
Yeah, let me make sure. Just for our audience sake, as well as the antioxidants serve a non-antioxidant function in coffee. That is, although they are antioxidants, it is a polyphenol function. The only thing that changes human health is the antioxidants in cells, and we only have 3 of those, catalase, SOD, and glutathione. But the antioxidants in coffee, which as you point out, have a lot of properties, do increase those antioxidants inside your cell, but it isn't because they are antioxidants, it's because of their other properties in causing the growth of those or the initiation and stimulation of those. The coffee data, at least as I look at it, is about 50% of it is caffeine, meaning that in the epidemiologic studies, we don't have really good intervention studies, but the few that we have correspond to the same, showing that about 50% of the benefit is the caffeine and 50% is the, as you say, the colored stuff or the polyphenols in it. But it is really key, as you started to point out, how to grow them, how to store them, how to roast them for their maximum health benefit.
That's right. And as far as caffeine,
tell us a little bit about the process, because the process you went through is unique and really important, and that's why Purity Coffee may be a strong advantage over the epidemiologic general run-of-the-mill coffee that helps you.
Yeah. Well, we try to make every decision based on health, or we did make every decision in the best of our knowledge based on health. So that started with a few very obvious ones. We start with organic, specially grade coffee. And the reason we start with organic is because a lot of countries where coffee is produced, it's not actually considered a food item. It's considered technically a non-food item, which allows different grades of pesticides on the crop and herbicides. And so that's, you know, one issue. There's a sort of very easy no-brainer. The specialty grade comes in because that's a measurement of the amount of defects in the coffee. So you're looking for...
Let me just interrupt and try and get some specifics on this. What percent of coffee beans are grown without pesticides, I guess, which is what yours are grown with? So they're organic, as I understand.
Yeah. Only 3% of the coffee that reaches the U.S. is organic. So it's a very low number.
Our general, if you generalize and say I'm buying X brand of coffee in the big mug in the big, if you will, drip container, tin at the grocery store, it is unlikely to be organic.
Yeah, unless it's specifically labeled as such, but in most cases it's not organic coffee.
And so that gets rid of the pesticides. Now, in the roasting process, what happens if you have the pesticides on the bean and you're still roasting it?
Yeah, so it's all about the roasting temperature, and this is sort of what matters. Most coffee companies are focused on taking green coffee and turning it brown. And as you know, inside of the roasting process, there's certain compounds that are created and others that are destroyed. The main ones that we focus on, in the early stages of roasting, you create acrylamide through this Maillard reaction. And so, you know, as you start going on the roasting curve and continue to roast the coffee, what happens is you're roasting away the antioxidants or the CGAs in the coffee. So that minimizes along the roasting curve. And then as you start to dark roast the coffee, you create PAHs. So what we try to do is find the sweet spot between the most amount of antioxidants and the minimum amount of acrylamide in the coffee.
Now, let me go on. This is interesting. This is so interesting because we're learning much more about food production, if you will, in this area as well as others. But in other words, when you get to higher temperatures, do you get to more acrylamide? As you get to darker beans, you get to more acrylamide or just more PAHs?
No, so acrylamide isn't in the natural green bean. It's created as part of the roasting process. And it's created with any sort of fried or foods where you're applying heat to that.
But is it the hotter temperatures or the longer roasting or the darker roasting that gets you more of that?
Yeah, it has to. The concept is as it hits the Maillard reaction, it's called first crack. As the coffee gets to the first crack of roasting, it starts to create high levels of acrylamide, which weren't there previously, and then those acrylamide levels drop off till about in the middle of the roasting stage. You've mostly eradicated the acrylamides in the coffee. So if you've got a light roasted coffee, you're going to have high acrylamides. If you've got a very dark roasted coffee, you'll have virtually no acrylamides, but you'll also have very low amounts of CGAs, chlorogenic acids, which is what you want in your coffee.
And so so you must look at the CGA content as you roast to be able to figure out where the sweet spot is.
That's exactly it. So what we've done, when we first select our coffee, so we select 40 different organic coffees, and we test them for CGAs in the green bean, and then we pick the top five of those coffees that have the highest level of CGAs in the green bean, and then we roast and we take samples out along the roast curve to pick the ones that will have the most amount of antioxidants, the least amount of acrylamide, and no PAHs. And so some coffees fit the criteria and others don't, and we discard the ones that just don't fit the criteria.
Now, does that mean your coffee has to cost? In other words, when you're this selective, you would say, well, it has to cost a bunch more.
Yeah, it's one of the challenges that we had is we decided at the beginning to make every decision based on health, regardless of cost, regardless of flavor. We ended up having a great tasting coffee because it's a specially grade organic coffee, but we certainly go through a lot more steps and processes than other coffee companies would do, including lab testing for mold and mycotoxins and that sort of thing, and also even testing for pesticide residue in the organic coffee just to make sure there's no runoff or any issues there. So our coffee is around $20 a bag of coffee, which is on the high end of specialty coffee. But I think what we're going to be doing is working to reduce that cost over the next sort of 6 to 8 months. Now we've measured our coffee against 49 other brands of coffee in the market, and we've tested every compound in those coffees, like acrylamide level. Now what we realize is that we're anywhere from 2 to 10 times higher in antioxidants than other brands. Now what we're going to do is go back along the supply chain and reduce the costs.
So what we should talk to people about is we're talking to Andrew Salisbury, who is the founder and CEO of Purity Organic Coffee, who has obviously a deep knowledge of the health benefits of coffee, but is also is different from at least other people we've talked to, really working hard to get their coffee as healthy as possible.
Yep.
We had a question, by the way, of where can one obtain the Purity coffee, and is there a decaffeinated brand as well?
There isn't right now. The reason there's not a decaffeinated brand is because there's three ways to decaffeinate coffee, and the healthiest way is a thing called critical CO2. And we don't have the volume yet to have a decaffeinated version. As soon as we have that, because that version maintains the antioxidants in the coffee, so that'll be coming soon. And the answer to the question about where you would get the coffee, initially we're selling it online, puritycoffee.com. And what we're doing also is we're working with nutritionists as affiliates and doctors who can sort of give the message and help us get this message out about coffee and health.
Now, the we should tell you to send some to Oprah, since she has a little bit every day now. But in any case, the coffee is available online. It sounds like you have a British accent.
That's right.
Is it sold more? Is your company located in Great Britain, or is it located in Brazil, or where is the roasting actually done now?
The roasting is in North Carolina, but I'm originally English, but my wife is American, so this is an American company.
And I should say, since I have my daughter teaches organic chemistry at Duke, are you near Durham or Raleigh?
Very near. So that would be interesting. I'd love to have that conversation. I think we want to work with that group.
But in any case, so this is a coffee made in the United States. It is roasted in the United States. The beans, I assume, are procured from around the world or different areas of the world.
So we
we should go into some of the health benefits since we alluded to them. And you made the point, and I think that's true, as long as you're a fast metabolizer, like your wife must be. So the slow metabolizers are 12 to 18% of U.S. citizens, and they get only side effects from coffee, whereas the fast metabolizers, the 82 to 88% of us who don't get headaches, heart abnormal heartbeats, headaches or gastric upset from one cup of coffee in 1 hour, those of us who don't get that usually get major benefits from coffee, and that's the vast majority, and the more cups, the better. The person who got me to drink more than I was Mehmet Oz, and my administrative assistant did an intervention on me because I was, although I was having 3 cups of coffee a day, I was also having about 36 Diet Dr. Peppers a day or Diet Cokes a day. So we need to do that intervention on our president as well.
That's right.
Talk to us about how more coffee is better. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say, and just one sort of mention of what you were talking about in terms of fast metabolizer of coffee and slow metabolizers of coffee. People who are slow metabolizers of coffee or people who have issues with drinking coffee, some of it may be based on the way that they process coffee, but some of it may be based on the fact that they have sensitivities either to mold or to the stale coffee, because most coffee people are drinking is roasted 6 to 9 months previously. And so what upsets a lot of people's stomach is the fact that the lipids around the coffee have turned rancid.
Ah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So the coffee is, so purity, obviously, you must be able to map your sales with your production.
That's right.
To a much greater degree than most coffees are then.
It's one of the reasons why we have to sell initially online. So what we've done is it's just-in-time shipping. So when you place the order, the coffee is roasted that day, and it's out to you the same day. So your coffee typically is received 2 to 3 days after roasting. And we also have a second level of security where we nitrogen flush the bag so that the coffee is fresh until the day you open the bag.
Ah, so now let me go back. And you said there is mold and toxin. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so a lot of this comes from poor production practices in the farm. So one of the reasons why we make sure our coffee is hand-picked and hand-selected is the fact that big coffee companies, when they're farming, use machines to rake all of the coffee trees at the same time. So coffee cherries ripen at different levels. So if you try and rake all of those trees at the same time, you're going to have cherries that are underripe, cherries that are ripe, and cherries that are overripe and moldy. And so what happens in with large coffee companies is they have to then separate out the ripe cherries from the overripe and the underripe. And what that creates when they miss cherries that are overripe in terms of all of the coffee cherries, it's like putting a moldy strawberry in a fresh pallet of strawberries. You create mold very quickly, and it cross-contaminates the other products that's not moldy. So we have to go with hand-selected and hand-picked coffee, because then the farmer worker is only picking coffee that is just ripe and not overripe or underripe. And then mold can develop in lots of different stages in the production as well. I mean, we've even seen cross-contamination in terms of yeast in the roastery itself if people are not following the right practices.
So there, as I hear it from what you're saying, is you have to be fairly selective in the farms or the production in the actual bean.
Yep.
And then you also have to be fairly selective and fairly rigorous in actually the roasting and the packaging process.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that the biggest problem comes in the initial production of the coffee. A lot of companies, most coffee companies, are more concerned about price than they are about contamination in the coffee, because there's a very high, in theory, acceptable level of mold content in coffee as it reaches the U.S. It's not as it's higher than they accept in Europe. And so, you know, what we do is we test for a variety of different molds to make sure that before we buy any lot of coffee that it's tested mold-free.
Now, one of the people who asked us said, is there coffee, and without knowing your questions, because he did, the person we tweeted that you were coming on in advance, and they asked questions in advance, so he didn't know your comments so far.
Yeah.
But he said, is there coffee available in, or is high-quality coffee, or is high-quality coffee like this available in your local coffee shop? That is, do any of the corner baristas, et cetera, serve coffee of this quality.
Absolutely, and I think that's a big part of our conversation. We want people to understand that the general consumption of coffee is good for you. If your standard is for health, though, there's certain things that you should look for in your coffee. And you can get some of this in your local coffee shop, a high-quality coffee shop and roaster. Unlikely to find it in the big chains. But, you know, the basic things that you would want to find in a local coffee shop is you're looking for organic and fresh coffee. And you're looking for coffee that's medium roast, because that's probably the best way to sort of bet you can have the most level of antioxidants. So while they haven't lab tested it and found the exact sweet spot for the most antioxidants, you've got a pretty safe bet if you're going for a mid-range roast, fresh coffee, organic coffee, and it's unlikely that would have been tested for mold, but you can, you know, drink it and see how your body reacts. If you're in a pinch and, you know, that's your best alternative.
Well, it sounds like since I have been, dark roast is too bitter for me, so I've been going with medium roast all along. So
good.
I've been lucky enough to go that way. And obviously I'm going to go online and order some Purity organic coffee pretty soon and prepare it. So that is the way of doing it. Get organic, do medium roast, and in the ideal situation, you will have it without sugar and without additives and be able to get coffee that's been brewed for the sweet spot in what you would call maximum antioxidants or maximum CGAs.
Yeah. And we've also got a code for your listeners to give them 50% off their first bag if they want to try our coffee, because I think that's probably the very best calling card we have is to let people try our coffee at a very low cost. So
Ahead. I'll broadcast the code as well as, if you allow me, I'll tweet it later today.
Absolutely. It's Purity Cup. Purity like Purity Coffee, Purity Cup. And that's 50% off the first bag.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. And hopefully people will take advantage of that, because although this is on a tape delay, I will tweet it. So hopefully people will get that advantage. But since we're on a delay of several weeks before the interviews appear, you may get some Purity Cup orders for several weeks.
Fantastic.
We've been talking to Andrew Salisbury, S-A-L-I-S-B-U-R-Y, who is the founder and CEO of Purity Organic Coffee. It is, the website is puritycoffee.com, and he has literally harvested the knowledge for the best of coffee, that is, coffee with the least toxins, the least microtoxins, the least mold, and roasted in a way that has the least amount of acrylamide and acrylics and PAHs and the most, if you will, antioxidants or CGAs that provide the at least probably 50% of the health benefit. Andrew, thank you very much for coming on and for talking to us about how to roast coffee and how to look for roasted coffee.
Great. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
And thank you for downloading and listening to us. Please do tweet about this. Feel free to rate us. And we'll be back next week, again on Tuesday, with another interesting and stimulating guest. And hopefully it will keep you as awake as coffee does me.